The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 23, Text number 56, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 21st, 2008, in Helsinki, Finland.
So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are blessed with the opportunity to study an authoritative presentation of what is known as Paramahamsa Samhita, the treatise for the most highly enlightened class of personalities within the universe, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, Text number 56.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nehayat karma dharmaya,
navirāgaya kalpate,
natirta pada sevaya,
jivanapi mṛto hi sa.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must be considered dead, although he is breathing. Purport. Devahuti's statement is that since she was attached to living with her husband in sense gratification, which does not lead to liberation from material entanglement, her life was simply a waste of time. Any work one performs that does not lead to the state of religious life is useless activity. Everyone is by nature inclined to some sort of work. And when that work leads one to religious life, and religious life leads one to renunciation, and renunciation leads one to devotional service, one attains the perfection of work. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, any work that does not lead ultimately to the standard of devotional service is a cause of bondage in the material world. Yagyartat karmanon yatra lokoyang karma bandhanaha. Unless one is gradually elevated to the position of devotional service, beginning from his natural activity, he is to be considered a dead body. Work which does not lead one to the understanding of Krishna consciousness is considered useless.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam
Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
Shama eva yi kevalam. Unless you come to the point of connecting with Krishna through devotional service, whatever you're doing, it is shama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a useless waste of time. Prabhupada is giving the example here of Devahuti, who's feeling that her attachment for living with her husband in sense gratification is also a useless waste of time. Of course, there are Krishna conscious marriages, but that does not mean that one is attached to living with the spouse for sense gratification. Actually, just recently, my wife, Vishnupriya Mantaji, she was leading the kirtan in Copenhagen in the Mangalarti, and all of a sudden she had a subarachnoidal hemorrhage, which can kill you, actually. And she collapsed on the floor in the middle of the kirtan. And then when she was recovering, she was saying, actually, it would have been very nice if I had left the body then. It would have been very nice because I was singing Gravastakam. So she wasn't feeling all attached. No, I have to stay in this world with my husband. She wasn't feeling like that. She was thinking, oh, what a great opportunity to have left the body right in the middle of Mangalarti, singing, leading the Gravastakam prayers to leave the body at that moment. That would have been a fantastic thing. She was laughing in that way, even though she was in great pain. And actually, it was in the ambulance she was saying like that. So, the whole point is, we may have different relationships here in this world, and that's all right, but we should be attached to one thing and one thing only, and that's devotional service. Because nothing else will really satisfy us. Why? Because we're not the body. You see? We think we can enjoy the body, but that's simply because we think we are the body. We have to come out of this bodily conception of thinking that I am the body, because that is simply the doorway to hell. We have considered ourselves to be the body millions and millions and millions of times, and where has it gotten us? To another damn rotting body. That's all it's gotten us. So now it's time to kick out once and for all this bodily conception. I mean, do you really want to identify with blood and mucus and bile and urine and stool? Do you really want to identify with that? Are you excited about a bag of mucus and stool and urine and pus and blood and muscles? And is that exciting? We think it is by the power of Maya. We think, oh, this is very nice. I can squeeze it, I can give it tongue gratification, genital gratification. We're thinking like this, you see, under the influence of the material nature. We're hypnotized by Maya, actually. We're spellbound by Maya at the present moment, thinking, oh, how sweet it is. Bag of stool and urine, you see. So nice bag. Actually, it is Maya's packaging job. She is the most expert marketeer. She would put the modern day, you know, marketing experts to shame. She's so much more expert. In the U.S., the famous place in New York City, they call it Madison Avenue, where all the big advertising agencies have their offices, you know, where they bewilder you into spending your money on some useless garbage by advertising, you see. Just like Coca-Cola, you know. What good is it? But they advertise things better with Coca-Cola, and people think, yes. And they say, it's the real thing, you see. Through advertising, they bewildered thousands and millions of people all over the world to drink Coca-Cola, thinking that I'll be happy if I can drink Coca-Cola, you see. Actually, you know what Prabhupada told Dhanavar Maharaj? He said, you should go to the managers of Coca-Cola company and ask them to change the name of their drink to Hare Krishna. Just imagine, things go better with Hare Krishna. It's the real thing. Actually, Prabhupada does say Hare Krishna is the real thing. He used the same exact slogan in his purports that they use for Coca-Cola. He used it in his Bhaktivedanta purports. It's the real thing. So it's simply Maya's expert, most expert marketing job, you see. She's razzle-dazzled our brains with the most incredible propaganda. I mean, from the very minute you come out of your mother's womb, they say, oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. We're immediately programmed from the second we come out of the womb to think that we're the body. I mean, it's the most complete, total brainwashing job that, you know, anyone has ever come up with in the history of the universe. We've been totally brainwashed. Of course, brainwashing isn't really the best word for it. Brain dirtied. We've been brain dirtied. You see, actually, we want to wash our brains clean of all this filth that's been, you know, programmed into them. One time I was standing in line, we were leaving the Fiji Islands and one of our around-the-world tours, standing in line there at Air Pacific in Nandi, Fiji, getting ready to fly back to the U.S. And one very proud person, he saw, oh, here's a monk. Let me show him my stuff, you know, I'll defeat him. He said, what is your philosophy? And what do you believe in? You know, like that. And I said, know who you are and be who you are. I couldn't say anything. Because really that's what we're doing, you see. This is not a religious cult. This is not a blind faith dogma cult at all. This is why the Bhagavatam is also called the Paramahamsa Samhita. Prabhupada explains that in his purport. The treatise for the most highly enlightened class of philosophers, you see. We have the deepest, most scientific, philosophical understanding of who we are, where we've come from, what is our purpose for existence, how we can achieve the perfection of our existence, you see, of anyone in the whole universe. We're not proud of that. We just feel fortunate, that's all. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this position to be the topmost educational institution in anywhere in the whole universe. At the present moment, in Radha Desh, there is the, what do they call it, Bhaktivedanta College, I think. So it's very nice. They have gotten some university in the UK to accredit them that you can get a bachelor's degree in Vaishnav studies, something like that. It's recognized by the modern day universities because it's, I think it's called Leeds something University. So that's a very nice accomplishment, and I appreciate what they've done. I've told them this when I was there in Madhadesh. But the real perfection of our Krishna consciousness movement will be not when we get accredited by the mundane universities. Our success will be when the biggest most prestigious universities, you know, Oxford, Yale, Harvard, Cambridge, you know, Stanford, all the big universities, when they have to get accredited by ISKCON to be considered legitimate educational institutions, you see, that will be the real success of our preaching. I told them this in my tradition. They very much appreciated them, you see. The big, big universities, you see. Just like Tathagata Prabhu, he's doing this speaking circuit in the universities, you see. When that day comes, when all these universities will have to be accredited by ISKCON to be considered legitimate by the citizens. Well, I'm not going to go to a university unless it's ISKCON accredited. You see. I don't want to go to a non-accredited university. It has to be ISKCON accredited. Then I will go, you see. So why will that day come to this planet, you see? If this is a religious cult, some dogmatic sentiment of religion, that day could never happen. But that day will come. Because this is the topmost science, as Krishna says, Raja Vidya. It is the topmost knowledge. It is the perfection of scientific study, actually. To understand who I am, what is the ultimate source of existence, what is my relationship with the ultimate source of existence, and how can I perfect that relationship. You see, that we are teaching. So, time is a little short today, so I can ask if there's some question. You're all highly learned scholars, you know everything. All right.
The situation where these highly esteemed universities could really think like that they should be
accredited.
Mm-hmm.
How will we get there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of preaching to do, I'm going to say. We ship a lot of books, we ship a lot of prasadam, have a lot of festivals, make a lot of devotees. And really be expert in presenting this philosophy, not in a dogmatic way, but in a scientific, philosophical way. That's what we have to do. We really have to, and it means we have to train our own members also. I see, because I have this e-course, I have many people who are like congregational members of ISKCON, and they're really dedicated to ISKCON, but their philosophical understanding is sometimes like a dogmatic religious understanding. You know, the Hare Krishna is the only way. You can only chant Hare Krishna. They fail to understand what Lord Chaitanya said, Nam Namakari Bahula Nijasharvashakti, that there are thousands and millions of names. See, they didn't even understand the second prayer of the Shikshastakam. They're dedicated to ISKCON, but they have a dogmatic understanding that the only way to go back to God is to chant Hare Krishna. If you chant some other name of God, then you're going to hell. You see, it's like Christianity kind of understanding. But that is not our philosophy. Our philosophy given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, of course, we chant Hare Krishna because, as confirmed in the Kali Santarada Upanishad, it's the most effective and powerful name. Names. But we don't say it's the only name. That would be a ludicrous statement. It means we're being an offense against Lord Chaitanya if we said that, because that's going against his teachings. We should never say that only chanting Hare Krishna is the way to achieve perfection. That is not our philosophy. But it's the best way that we can say. Of all the bona fide names that one can, of God that one can utter to achieve perfection, this is the most powerful and effective means. And because time is very short in this age, 100 is the max, and now who lives to be 100? Even if you make it to 80, you're glorified as an octogenarian. You see? If you make it to 80, you're considered, wow, there's an 80-year-old person. He really must have lived right. He's 80 years old. So we really need to preach, and we also have to have the proper philosophical understanding. We have to understand this as a philosophy and as a science, not as a religious cult. We really do have to understand that. Very important. That's why all these training programs, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, all these training programs, we have a very important thing. Because our members have to have a philosophical, scientific understanding of this philosophy, of this these teachings. Very, very important thing. Yes?
Prabhu, I would just like to comment that I remember maybe Srila Prabhupada said that if, was it 1 or 10% of the population becomes devotees, bona fide devotees, then it will like really affect us.
Yes. If we can make 1% solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, the whole world will change. And Prabhupada gives that quote, Ekas Chandra, one moon will light up the entire sky. What all of your millions of stars will do, if there's only even one moon, it will light up the whole sky. So if we can just get 1% of the population properly trained in Krishna consciousness, you see, then they will be accepted as the leading thinkers, the leading the acharyas, the living examples of saints on this planet, and the whole world will be changed. They don't have to. Not that everyone has to be initiated disciple. If we just have 1% who are initiated devotees, you see, throughout the world, the whole world will be completely transformed into a wonderful, amazing, global society. And it's actually predicted there will such a spiritual revolution is guaranteed to come by none other than Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Some people accuse me of being utopian. Oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're just utopian. You know, you're a dreamer, you know, pie in the sky dreamer. They make fun of me sometimes, you see. But actually, Krishna Das Kaviraj, I have very good company. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he is stated, Saj jana durjana pangu chadda antagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is a tidal wave of prema. And it will completely inundate this entire world, drowning everyone. Doesn't matter if they are Sajjana, pious, Durjana, impious, Pangu, lame, Jada, invalid, or Anda, blind. Everyone will become drowned in this ocean of Krishna prema. So it's not a question of if, it is simply a question of when. There's a 10,000 year period, which began with Lord Chaitanya's advent. Sometime within this 10,000 year period, that prediction of Krishna Das Kaviraj will become completely manifested. So we are the pioneers in the early days of this tidal wave, trying to push it forward. We have the most wonderful opportunity to be pushing forward that tidal wave of Krishna Prem, you see. Every book that you distribute, every prasad, every person that you tell about this philosophy, you are pushing forward this tidal wave of Krishna Prem. So keep pushing, 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 pushing. We just got to keep pushing. We got to out-push Maya, like two guys arm wrestling, you know. Each one pushing the other, and who can push harder, they win. You see, so the karmis, they are pushing, and we are also pushing. Now, who's going to push harder, you see? Who will push harder? We have to out-push them. They are pushing forward Darwin, and all kinds, you know, hedonism, all kinds of garbage. We have to push harder. It's a war of philosophy, a philosophical war being fought right now, you see, on this planet. Some people think, well, to have fun, we got to play basketball or have some volleyball. You got to have some fun. That's stupid. If you want to have fun, engage in this sport. Push forward this Krishna consciousness movement to defeat this nonsense. That's the ultimate sport. If you want to have fun, the Sankirtan sport is the ultimate sport. You see, they think Some even in our movement now, some devotees think, yeah, we got to have a baseball game to have some fun. We got to. Why don't they go out on Hari Nam instead of playing baseball, you know? And what good is baseball? They say, we got to have a golf, in Alachua, they say, we got to have a golf tournament, you know, to have some fun, you know? I mean, come on, how stupid. Why don't you go on Hari Nam? Then you really have fun. Why don't you go out and distribute books door to door or on the street, you know? Or set up some book tables everywhere, all over the town, like Vaisheshika Prabhu. He has the whole congregation goes on the Sankirtan. Not just the brahmacharis. I don't think he even has any brahmacharis there. He has all these householders who work jobs, and on the weekends he sets up tables all over the whole town. He gets permission to set up tables all over town. Every single member of the congregation goes out on the weekend. They call them the weekend warriors. And they all do books, and they're in bliss. They set up a table to make it attractive. People come and look, and they sell books, and the whole congregation is completely in bliss. They're all doing Sankirtan Yajna. And they go back to work on Monday, you know, look forward to the next weekend. So we really have to get everybody together all over the world in ISKCON, pushing for the books, pushing for it, Hari Nam, Prasad distribution, pushing, making devotees, training devotees, pushing nice deity worship, first-class deity worship, everything, pushing temples clean, nice relationships, pushing, 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 as hard as we can. And who knows, it could even happen in our lifetimes. You know, we could see it even happen in our lifetimes if we push hard enough. So, here our local leader, he's a very good pusher. Tattvabad Prabhu, Sriman Tattvabad Prabhu. He's pushing you all to distribute. And he's being pushed also by the wonderful acharyas. So many acharyas are here. He's being pushed by their example. So everybody keep working together, pushing for this movement. And Lord Chaitanya will shower his mercy upon you like torrents of rain, as Prabhupada said, in the monsoon season. So we thank you all very much. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.